The Reaper virus.
It's What's for Armageddon.
Thank you.
Document number 141320. Location, Little Rock, Arkansas, United States of America. Latitude 34.748655. Longitude -92.274494.
Dear Troy, I probably shouldn't be writing this letter to you. Most people in this situation would leave some kind of message to family or other loved ones. I don't have any family, though, and you're the closest thing I have to a loved one. How pathetic is that? I know you know I existed, but I was nothing to you. We would say hi in passing, and we would chat in the break room. Well, I say we, but you did all the talking. I sat there, nodding dumbly. I'd just sit there and stare into your dark brown eyes, but not too long, because the eyes tell too much. I guess I didn't want you to know how I felt. Most of the time, I would look up to your black hair and how it would shine under the fluorescent light. That looks a little weird now that it's on paper. No time to change it, though. I knew, still know, that you would never go for a girl like me. You were tall and athletic and handsome, and I'm just some dumpy nerd girl. Doesn't matter anymore anyway. I remember the day all hell broke loose. And to be honest, though, it's only been 3 weeks, and there hasn't been a whole lot of time to forget. I still don't know how it all started. No one does. I just know that I heard moans and screams coming from the lobby. At first, I thought it was a robbery or a terrorist attack. I don't know why. I guess I just couldn't believe the dead would walk the earth. I remember when they broke into the offices. The moaning was horrible. It made me think of some kind of bagpipes from hell. And I remember how we all stood there in shock. I don't know about you, but I just thought they were Halloween costumes. Not even good ones. I distinctly remember thinking that I could make a better costume from stuff I had in my apartment. We all learned that the zombies were far too real when they started eating Bob from HR. I saw one of them bite a chunk out of his neck and blood gushed everywhere. And then a group of them overwhelmed him. Wait, what do you call a group of zombies? A bunch? A horde? A gaggle? I know it sounds cliche, but it was kind of like seeing a pride of lions take down a gazelle. If the lions were dead and rotting, and the gazelle was morbidly obese. I stood there in shock. I couldn't move as the zombies lumbered towards me. One neared me. I think it used to be a young girl. She, or it, was short and probably thin in life. When I saw it, though, it was engorged on the flesh of the living. Its skin was gray, and it wore brightly colored clothes, and what was left of its blonde hair was held in place with a pink barrette. I looked into its eyes. I saw no humanity there. I didn't see anything there. Honestly, I think that might have been scarier than the zombies themselves. Suddenly, a blur jumped between the zombie and me. I saw that it was you. You held on to the zombie's neck and screamed at me to run away. I looked back to see the zombie slip from your grasp and bite through your forearm. I screamed, but something in me told me to run. You should have run away and left me to the zombies. You could have lived to put up a fight or something. You were far more useful to the world than me, Troy. You were extraordinary. I'm just meat. I wished I didn't look back. Then I would have had some hope that you would live to read this letter. You would know my feelings, and you would know that your heroics saved my life, even if it was only briefly. Had I known how things would end, I may have told you how I felt. Scratch that. I know myself too well. I still would have been too scared to say anything, but I may have hinted harder. As weird as it sounds, I hope the zombies devoured you completely. I can't bear the thought that you became one of them. your warm brown eyes becoming dull and lifeless. I refuse to believe that you could be a soulless killer. The last 3 weeks have been kind of a blur. I associated with different people at different times. I thought I'd do better with someone else. None of them made it very long. They all made stupid mistakes. One guy, John, ran gung-ho into a horde of zombies. I guess he thought he was in a movie. One of his guns jammed, and the zombies surrounding him attacked. This woman named Lucy that I hung out with tried to keep me from defending myself. She felt that zombies were God's punishment for humanity's wickedness. One day, she had enough of my naysaying and went to embrace her judgment. And the zombies embraced her in return, with their mouths full of broken teeth. Then I met this couple, George and Emily. They were nice and in their late 40s. They kind of looked after me like a daughter for a while. Made me a little more optimistic that there might be hope at the end of all the horror. One day, though, a small group of the undead surrounded us. One zombie got really close to Emily, but I was too busy fighting to notice what happened. Later, when I asked Emily if she was okay, I believed when she said yes. She hid things well until she became unconscious. I told George to take care of her, and he told me he couldn't kill his wife. I told him that she wasn't his wife anymore, and when she turned, I told him that he'd better take care of her, or I would. He told me that he would, and then he told me to go. As I ran off, I heard screaming, moaning, and a gunshot. I heard another gunshot a few moments later. I don't want to think about what happened. I was kind of in my own world after that. I was sad for Emily and George, and even for John and Lucy. They couldn't help how they reacted to the impossible. I know it was selfish, but I kept thinking that all of them might still be alive if they hadn't met me. Everyone I knew from before the end of the world was dead. Why wouldn't those I meet after be doomed too? I'm a jinx. I made my own stupid mistake because I didn't pay attention to my surroundings. Suddenly, I realized that a group of around 20 zombies approached me from all angles. I ran as fast as I could towards an office building. One of the zombies grabbed my jacket, but I kicked it and managed to escape. I entered the dark building and scrambled up the partially collapsed stairs. I entered an office on the third floor and pushed the desk against the door. I hoped that would keep the zombies at bay for a little while. I found a pen and some paper on the desk and decided to write how I got here. If not for you, Troy, then someone else. Maybe people will figure out how to stop the zombies, and it'll become a living world once again. I hear them getting closer now. The moans are just outside the door. I guess the stairs didn't deter them as much as I thought. I need to put my plan into action. You see, I found a gun. It only has one bullet left, but I just need the one. Provided I don't miss. Dear God, please don't let me miss. I can't be one of them. I refuse to be. I feel like I'm letting you down, Troy. You died to save me, but I was too stupid to get out of the city and save myself from the hordes of the dead. They're trying to beat the door down now. They're almost in, so I should go. Hey, wouldn't it be crazy if this were just a big, long, fucked-up dream? I want to wake up soon. Either way, I'll see you later. I hope. Yours, Carlene.
Document number 000891. Location, Ottumwa, Iowa, United States of America. Latitude 41.020119. Longitude -92.415741.
Back in the air again, and heading north. Hopefully we can find a safe place to land again, but I don't think there's any place safe. I've come to terms with the fact that I will most likely never see anyone I knew again. I'm sure they're either dead or have turned into one of them. Never my worst nightmare if I ever expected something like this to happen. I remember sitting at a bar when the first reports came in on TV. We were all there. My best friend Kevin, his fiancée Melissa, and my beautiful Rose. Our little island getaway to the Bahamas was disappearing around us as we watched the news reports telling of the dead rising all around the world. We joked about the reports, and then we saw the videos. There hadn't been any sightings on the island, though, and some even thought we had it made there. Not a huge amount of people, so the locals thought we could contain the safety of the island and weather the storm out with a few more drinks down by the shore. It didn't take long for that to fall apart, though. The first boats started showing up 2 days later. The refugees had the same idea as we did, and I can't say I would have blamed them either. Who wouldn't think of running to a tropical island for safety wouldn't be the ideal thing to do? I'm sure more than a few of them thought that once they got there, they could just go sit on the beach and kick back a few Mai Tais while the outside world crumbled away. Actually, it was what quite a few people did. The death of the world didn't stop people from coming to the beaches. But when the boat started appearing, well, that was it. It wasn't long after that the island started swarming with those things. We barely got off the island. Melissa and Rose didn't make it, and I can't get the image of their faces out of my mind. That look of horror haunts me. There wasn't anything I could have done to save them. Was there? Kevin's good pilot, though. Got us off the ground, but we were the last ones to make it off the island. As we turned and circled the airport, we saw the flaming wreckage of a plane on the runway that had cut off any chance of escape for the remaining planes down there. Those things had swarmed the runway right after our departure. The 10 or so other planes that had been waiting their turn, they never had a chance. We got into a formation with the other few planes that had left before us and started flying towards land. We passed low enough over the cities to see them walking the streets. Cars lined the highway, most of them stopped or wrecked, very few of them actually moving. The dead walked in between the cars. I can remember seeing a group of them pounding on a wrecked minivan. I don't even want to imagine what it would be like on the ground. The lead plane headed towards a military base near the Gulf, and we all followed him. Everyone figured that'd be the safest place if there was one. Then the radio chatter picked up as we neared the base. They told us to stay away and not attempt to land. We should have listened, but the formation flew on. Kevin said we were about 10 minutes from the base when the fighter flew past. Then someone came on the radio telling us to change course again. I heard the lead pilot telling the fighter pilot that he should go to hell. It couldn't have been more than 10 seconds later that two planes in front of us exploded, and we changed directions quickly after that. The fighter jet disappeared after we changed course, and everyone was freaked out trying to figure out what to do. It didn't take us long to have four others group up with us and head north. The rest went off in a different direction, searching for safety. I really do hope they found it. Almost immediately after the discussion, I watched as one of the planes crashed to the ground below. I guess they might have been hit by debris by the other planes, or maybe the pilot just gave up and figured that'd be the fastest way out of this nightmare. So here we are, flying north. An hour ago, we landed at an airstrip in Arkansas and tried to get some fuel. We only got a few gallons out of the pumps. Someone had beaten us to it, apparently. There's only one plane left in our group now, and we're heading towards Canada. Maybe the colder weather will slow those things down. And I can see them swarming the roads below us. I don't really think I'll be writing anything more. Kevin says we're almost out of fuel. We're going to try and...
Document number 044861. Location, Sylvania, Ohio, United States of America. latitude 41.715575, longitude -83.704249.
To the future, if there is one. Everything was fine until I let him in. I never even learned his name. Shit. Why now? I should have known better. I guess I should back up and begin at the beginning. The beginning? I don't really think there ever was one. One day everything was normal, and the next the dead were up walking around. It wasn't a slow progression like in the movies. It was everywhere at once. And by the time the government figured out what was going on, it was too late to stop. I live in a suburb of a medium-sized city. It was quiet before the zombies came, and it stayed that way. Why couldn't people call them what they were, or are? Zombies. Not reanimated corpses, infected, or any of the other polite euphemisms we came up with. Zombies. Pure and simple. I boarded up the house as soon as I figured out what was going on, and didn't go out again. I was doing okay. My food was starting to get low, but I could have lasted a couple more weeks. If only I hadn't let him in. The man, damn him, came walking down the street in broad daylight. It's my fault, too. I hadn't seen another human being in weeks, and I called out to him. And he was surprised. After the pleasantries were exchanged, "Are you bitten?" "No, you." "No." I let him in. He looked okay. I mean, he was sweating, but this was summer, and he was wearing two layers of clothing, plus a heavy jacket. "Protection," he said, "against the zombies." There was no blood on him, and he didn't look injured, so I let him in. I showed him to the spare bedroom so he could remove some clothes and went to the kitchen for food. About a half an hour later, when he still hadn't reappeared, I went to check on him. I knocked, but there was no answer. So I walked in slowly. He was passed out on the bed, sleeping. I figured he was tired and let him sleep. He never woke up for the rest of the day. I ate supper and went to bed. I got up the next morning and had a can of cold beans for breakfast. Then I checked on my guest. I knocked and, receiving no answer, walked in. He was standing in the room with his back to me, looking around like he didn't know where he was. I cleared my throat to get his attention. As he turned, I realized there was something wrong. He looked strange. His face was ghost white and his eyes were blank. He moved towards me slowly, and I was too shocked at first to figure out what was wrong. Unfortunately, the room was very small, and we were only separated by less than 2 feet. My few seconds of inactivity cost me my life. Stupid. I was so stupid. He grabbed my arm just before I realized what was going on. It wasn't a very deep bite, more like a scratch, really, but it was enough. I managed to break free and run to the kitchen. There I grabbed the first thing I could think of, a huge knife. And I went back to the bedroom and shoved it right into one of his eyes. I cried for quite a while. I cried for this nameless man who just lost his life. I cried for myself. I cried for all of humanity. Eventually, I pulled myself together enough to check his body. I found the bite. It was on his palm. No wonder I didn't see it. It was small, smaller than my own bite, and it looked like it was starting to heal. Shit. I can't believe how stupid I was. After all my careful barricading and everything, he had purposely lied to me. He knew he had been bit and told me he hadn't. Damn him. I just finished removing all the boards from the windows and doors. I'm not going to be trapped in this house with that man. I'm going to go outside, and when I die, I'll be free. I'd take my own life if I could, but I don't have a gun, and I can't bring myself to jab a knife in my own eye. If anybody survives and finds this, I hope you've had better luck than I did. I have made 3 copies of this letter. One is written, one is on a flash drive, and one is on my computer hard drive. I'll be changing soon now. I can feel the infection coursing through my veins. It kind of burns. I'll leave you with these final words of advice. Don't trust anybody. Always check and double check for bites. And good luck. Eternally, a future zombie.
Document number 362523. Location, Los Angeles, California, United States of America. Latitude, 34.084961. Longitude, -118.263487.
Dear Bobby, I don't know how to write this. Things are getting worse here. I know we've only talked a couple of weeks ago, but it feels like months have gone by. Like I said on the phone, they said it's zombies, but I refuse to believe it. You called me stupid, and you were probably right. You always are, but I still refuse to believe it. I hope you arrive soon before I die so we can talk in person. I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I know this past year hasn't been good for us. I still love you. I love you so much. Please forgive me for being so stupid like I always been. There are things I need to tell you before it's too late. This is so hard to write, but I know I have to write it. Dante is infected. I didn't mean for it to happen. I didn't think it would affect Dante or me. We tried to barricade the front windows today when we saw those ugly fucks stumbling up the driveway, but I didn't see the one already at the window. It climbed in. I was in the other room gathering some stuff to block the windows. I left Dante in that room. When the outbreak happened, I didn't care, and now I see and I regret it. I am so stupid. It bit him. It bit our baby. Now he's going to turn into one of those things. It's all my fault. It always has been. I'm incompetent, and I know now that's why you left me. All those times you criticized me and brought me down or hit me, I know you were right, and I was always wrong. I deserve to be hated. I accept your scorn. I even welcome it now. I thought of the times when you hit me or, like you like to say, punished me, so I've decided to punish myself. I won't go into details, but we won't be alive when you come. I am so sorry. I have something else to say. That thing bit me too. I killed it, and it basically killed us. Dante's crying now. Dante asked if we were going to be okay. What am I supposed to tell him? How am I supposed to tell a 3-year-old that we're going to die? Not only that, but either turn into those things or that I have to kill him and myself. His own mother. How? Tell me. God, I wished you were here so you could tell me. Because I know you are and always will be smarter and better than me. You never let me forget that, and I thank you for it. I have no choice but to kill him and myself. I know you're on your way, but I've been waiting for a few days, and I can't wait any longer. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I know I've said this many times, but I don't want you to hate me. I know you do, but please don't. My death will be for my own good. It alters my mind and alters my mood. My life with you was great, but mostly sad. Now I sit here wondering what went bad. Dante is affected and sick. I wished you could come fast, come quick. My sweet, my beloved Bobby. Pain through your eyes, I'll see. Laugh at me while you can. Laugh at me, you evil man. Say my name or whisper it. Zombies and us in this world we can't fit. They call to me and whisper my name. Dante and I are now slain. I will always love you and see you in hell. Tony.
Document number 100375. Location, Shelby, North Carolina, United States of America. Latitude 35.291675. Longitude -81.540204.
Rebecca, I was hoping to see you again before Christmas, but with everything that's going on, I suppose that isn't going to happen now. When you left for school, all I could think of was my little girl, all grown up. College. What was next? A career? Marriage? Kids of your own? I guess you'll never make me a granddad now either. Or maybe you will. It's strange the kind of things we think about when the world is falling apart about us. I keep some kind of hope burning that you won't see the worst of whatever hell this is. That you'll somehow miss out on it. Somehow it'll skip over you and you'll be safe. But I know that's not going to happen either. I don't know if you'll find this letter, and I suppose I'm kind of foolish for even writing the damn thing. But I feel like I have to. I need to get this off my chest before I go. And I don't know any other way to tell you. You see, Rebecca, I killed your mother. I know what you're thinking. Surely she wasn't your mother when it happened. Surely she was one of those things. God, Rebecca, I wish I could tell you that. I wish it happened just like that. I wish to hell she hadn't called my name with her last breath. Then I might have spent the last few weeks pretending that she was one of them. But every time I close my eyes, I see that look on her face as the last bit of her life left her. I know she wasn't one of them because I held her hand in mine as she bled to death on the kitchen floor. It was an accident. I kept telling myself that, but it doesn't bring her back, and it doesn't forgive what I did. Those things kept coming, and I never really learned to use the pistol the right way. We bought it for security. That's almost funny, isn't it? It's getting hard for me to think straight now. I've taken all of your mother's sleeping pills. It's my fault she's dead, and I can't live with the guilt anymore. Please don't think your old man is a coward. I don't know what else to do. I thought about the gun and how I deserved to get what I gave, but I can't do it. Maybe I am a coward after all. I can feel your little hand in mine, honey. When you were 6, you grabbed my thumb and looked up at me and said, "I love you, Daddy." That was the second happiest day of my life. The first was the day I married your mother. I love you, Rebecca. I pray God keeps you safe. Dad.
No, do you? flew and then he appeared.
So don't be afraid.
Come on, baby.
But she had no fear.
And she ran to
and
him. They looked backward and said
she
goodbye.
Like
she had taken his hand.
She
Document number 540615, location Dallas, Texas, United States of America, latitude 32.778155, longitude minus 96.795404.
Dear Mother, I'm sorry I couldn't do more for you while you were still alive. I'm sorry I wasn't able to ease your suffering, relieve your pain, make you queen of your own castle or the ruler of your own world. I'm sorry I couldn't buy you the things you wanted, the diamond ring, the things that sing, what everyone usually calls the bling bling. I'm sorry. I couldn't take the pain away when Grandma and Grandpa died, and I'm sorry our neighbors wouldn't leave you alone. I'm sorry I couldn't give you the things you always wanted, but at least you didn't have to go through this. As I'm writing this in a faraway place that you have never, and now never will, see, I'm sitting in a cold dark room, hoping to the man you call God that my laptop won't run out of power before I finish, and that the generator won't run out before I send it over to the printer. The man that used to be my partner is banging away at the door, his face half torn off, half of one ear missing from where I missed shooting him in the head. He's alive on the outside, or so nature shows, but he's dead on the inside. The man I love wouldn't have tried to kill me, not in 100 million years. I'm writing this, Mom, to tell you that, should you ever come back, and should you ever be freed of the curse that inhabits the dead, that I love you, that I loved you when you were alive, that I love you when you were dead, and that I'll always love you, whether or not you return as ashes or dust. I scattered you across the plains of Texas and the hills of Tennessee. I tossed you out into the ocean, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York till L.A. I made sure that you would always shine, because you were always mine. My love, my birth, the woman who made me understand. There were times that I cried at night when I knew you were suffering, when I was afraid your dreams would never be accomplished. I cried before I moved out, and even after too, because while I knew that I was safe from the harm that he had once caused, I knew you would never be. You are my mannequin, who lost her rose, and the kitten who lost her wings. The angel that fell from grace, but never gave up her place. You watched me when I slept. You made sure that I was kept. You helped me when I wept, and told me how much I really meant. Mother, 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 mother. There's 7 for you, Mom, because you knew that was my lucky number. It helped me to find the way to tell you what I really meant to do. Helped me gain the things I've always wanted. Helped me improve my word. And here, now, in a little room, I've always wanted to call my own. I wait and listen to the sounds of the dead man outside, all the while writing the words that I wish I could have told you a long, long time ago. In a minute, I'm going to take the boards off and let him back inside. There's no point living anymore, not without him, and especially not without you. I love you, Mom. You mean the world to me. Thank you for all the things that you've done. lovingly, passionately, and with everything I have and ever will be, your son.
Document number 243351. Location, Jasper, Georgia, United States of America. Latitude, 34.4684. Longitude, -84.426964.
I'm writing this awfully fast, so I hope that you'll be able to read it. My not being from the South always did make it difficult for folks down here to understand me when I talked a lot faster than you all used to. But anyways, I wanted to say that I appreciate most of the hospitality here for the last 40 years, and the food was wonderful. I wanted you to know that if you survive this far, you probably already know you had to shoot them in the head for them to quit moving. I can't say kill them, because they are, as you know, already dead. I'm down to my last bullet, which is one I saved to use on myself. I don't want to go out being chewed on. How dreadful that must have been for the folks I was hiding with. With the electricity out, they went for food and became such. But I'm thinking, if I'm here, then someone else is too. So I write this to tell you that I did my best with this war, but probably won't make it. I'm going out to the well now for some water, as I haven't had any for a long time, and I can't live like this much longer. So I'll take my chances. Living down here in a cellar, I look like hell anyways, so I'm thinking I can act like one of them to get to it. I'll add to this letter that I have a confession to make about all the people who've been disappearing around here for the last 30 years. I'll write that down as soon as I get back from the yard well.
Document number 658746. Location, Leighton, London, Great Britain. Latitude, 51.558681. Longitude, -0.00717.
Dear Karen, I'm hoping you find this letter in case I don't see you again. I did leave a message on your answer phone. I guess you were out. But anyways, I was a bit emotional, so it may not have made much sense. I'm leaving Susan. It's harder for me to write this than just do it. It makes it more real somehow. I'm sure it's hard for you to hear it too, her being your sister and all. Let me explain briefly. After nearly 30 years of marriage, we've grown apart. We're different people now. We both want different things. It all started a couple weeks ago when she came back late one night after one of those riots started. She'd been mugged. Clothes torn, purse gone, she was in terrible state. Her hands were really messed up. It looked like one of the muggers had bitten chunks out of them, and her dentures missing. I bandaged up her hands tightly, but couldn't find any spare teeth. I did try phoning for an ambulance, but the emergency services have been unavailable for days now. I wanted to take her to the hospital, but she refused. She just wanted to go to bed. Besides, we aren't meant to leave our homes after curfew. She slept like the dead for a whole day and woke up in a foul mood. She'd wrecked the bedroom, and when I went in, she flew at me, moaning like she usually does, and started hitting and trying to bite me. I pushed her back, locked her in, and told her to stay there until she calmed down. After a while, she did quiet down, so I went back in with a bowl of soup and tried to talk to her. She went off once again, so I left her to it and spent the night in the spare bedroom, as usual. After a couple of days of this, she started to calm down when I approached her, and we just hugged it out. In fact, we started being physical again. As you know, our marriage has been on the rocks for quite a while, but we have managed to put up with each other since the world's problems started. When people are attacking each other in the streets for no good reason, it tends to put your own difficulties into perspective. So you can imagine how happy I was to start having, well, relations with Susan again. We had quite a few really exciting days. Things were as good as they ever had been. We didn't talk at all. We just spent our time in the bedroom. I know that you probably don't want to hear this, but she was like an animal. She couldn't get enough of me. But things gradually got worse. She still refused to eat, soiled herself repeatedly, and lost loads of weight. All of her lovely curves disappeared. She became half the woman she used to be. And the smell. She stopped washing herself for days. She really stunk. The last straw came last night when she threw up in my face. It wasn't just vomit. It was dark, thick, and blackish red. I had my mouth open and everything. I threw her off and locked her in the bedroom again. I spent the night in my room thinking and decided to leave her today. I'm ashamed to say I couldn't face her. I told her through the door that I was going to call you and tell you all that happened. I'm going out now to find a hospital that's open for business. My throat is burning, and I've developed a fever and some painful sores around my mouth. I've tried so hard to pretend that things are back to normal between us, but I just can't do it anymore. I know I'm a coward. Please take care of her, because I couldn't. Goodbye, Charlie.
Document number 113073. Location, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Latitude 43.648565. Longitude -79.385329. I've reached the end of my line. The tethers that hold me to this world are withered and blind. To the end of days, I salute. All of it for nothing, as we stand around, sickly twisted and dissolute. There has not passed a day in which I have not groped with ideas and hoped it would go away. I tend the remains of my life, the darkened pieces all scattered about within prisons of reckless strife. No happy end for me in sight, as I continue to sit here lost and forlorn, within, without, around this blight. Alas, truly, the end is near. The dead have wakened, walking the land, tortured and twisted. Life is so drear. I used to be the apple of the poetic eye of this world. People would come from miles around to hear my work, be part of my life, see the wonderful words that I could come up with, to see how I could string words, phrases, imagery, and such things by craft together. Now I'm stuck in a school with a bunch of disparate youth who have nothing better to do than screw and drink and eat and play at being alive while the dead walk the grounds outside. I think, me, that the end is truly near, because with the dead everywhere, what chance have we, the remaining few, of humanity? Not much from what I can tell. And worse yet, what have I to offer this clandestine cadre of corpse-attracting fodder? Not much more. Words were always my weapons, my only means of defense. The words now fall on dead ears, dead souls. They have no effect and only hurt my ears. I am truly powerless in this new world. I have many understandings of many things, yet, in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm going to have a difficult end. This world-weary soul is amongst the dried daub of the world, and it is poorly wrought therein. Today I found myself with a moment or two to jot down my thoughts. I'm sure that at some point in the shadowy, distant future, my scribbling will no doubt engender joy and amusement. I am the showman. I am he who writes the future, for now and forevermore. I color it with meaning, with intent, and purpose most furtive. There is naught that I cannot conceive, nor render under the joyous rapture of being, of decrying that lie that exists between one moment and the next. It is the landscape, big and brawny, brave and beautiful, that I staple my canvas down upon, and have written out this history huge. Bravo! Bravo me! See my magnificent swift jab. Witness the glory that is my unfettered ability to combat the drudgery of this mundane post within existence. Glory at the unrestrained wit that is my pen that shapes the worlds around me and glares menacingly down the corridor of the contemptuous corporate old world. Ha! I am the hero, the gallant. I am the defeater of the evil things that seek permanence, even at the expense of their own souls. Wickedly I craft the things that bring down the towers of evil empires and lay them low at the feet of my most cherished many loves. And other such wonderful stories and plays and poems and sweet words of emotion and imagery that still swim within my imagination. I have never aspired to be anything other than good at my craft, my own narcissism and gluttonies aside. I merely wanted to be good at my craft, the profession of crafting memories, of visions of other places, of songs and sounds from far-flung imaginative things. But the world died, and I ended up here with a dirty, ragtag bundle of humanity. My skills put me at a distinct disadvantage among this group. At least I have no other choice. My skills, once sought after from far and wide, now seem too rarefied to be applied to this arena. Thus, I am relegated to simple tasks, mindless drudgery, mundane and drear. If this is my lot in life at the moment, then so be it. I have no other recourse. I could, of course, but open the door and give of myself to the horde of ungodly wretches that crowd the pedestrian pathways of the past denizens of the city proper. But that would be only an act of cowardice, an act untoward any such goal as be lofty, or otherwise, that I could ever ascribe to. It demeans my dreams to know that my life lies in hands that in better days that would have flocked to my image-hungry consciousness. Fate is as foul and as fickle, and mine would seem to flower at the bottom rung of the new world's orders. So, today, I tend to the children, making sure that they are entertained and not distracted by the horrors that prowl outside our midst. The souls of the innocent, as represented by the childlike laughter of the younger ones, do not fill me with joy that my words once inspired in me. Instead, I sit here haunted by the meanings that I once wrote. I find that my life's work, now lost to the fire and bloody hands of the dead, are nothing so much as a tumultuous tooting of my own horn. I drearily lie, lost amongst the clouds of that once perfect life. And the children, they do not laugh as much as my memory once served. They do not do much of anything but stay afraid of the dark. And so I put on my happy face once again and poke fun at the travails that we few survivors have managed to pass through. I make funny faces. I croon in tones that once swept damsels off their feet and angered great men as their wives, girlfriends, and loved ones flocked to my footsteps. A crafter of stories, of merriment in verses. That is I. My station in this lovely new world, where the wickedly scorned lost souls of those abandoned by hell wallow amongst the living, picking out the unworthy and transporting them unto a playground of sin. And I sit here, playing with the children, while the rest of the grown-ups go about their business of securing our stations. It passes my days while I wait. I have no other palatable choice. At least not one that I can recognize, as yet. But there is always hope, of that I'm sure. There is always the possibility, even as remote as it is unlikely to be, that there will be a light at the end of this tunnel of doom. I hope. But now, I must myself back to my charges, for they must not disturb the dark too much, else it will rend them into bloody bits. Surprisingly, for a curmudgeonly old warbler such as myself, I would be saddened by that tale.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Library of the Living Dead's Letters from the Dead, conceived and edited by Mark M. Johnson, is available for purchase at Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Amazon.uk, most online booksellers, and brick-and-mortar stores through the Ingram catalog. Please buy a copy today. This ends the Library of Living Dead podcast presentation of Letters from the Dead.